work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Number two, Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios on this Friday.
Yes!
Got a guest in studio. And so excited. He's so incredibly excited.
This is the sexiest thing I've ever seen.
It's our friend Andy Husbands from the Smoke Shop Barbecue.
I wish we had Smell-O-Vision.
You were in a couple of weeks ago swinging through, and I said to you, I said, you know, you should come in someday and show us something that, like, people can make for a tailgate.
Yeah.
Because you're a Pat season ticket holder.
True.
Right? You go to a lot of games, so you've tailgated. Obviously, barbecue has the tailgate sort of thing to it.
Right.
I'm not sure that any of us could make this.
Yeah. I mean, this is a five-foot sub. But what you could do, because it's all about kind of the big and the giant, for me, when we tailgate, you can get a loaf like this. And then you could make a giant, like, Italian sub.
Hold on, get all your deli meats.
Where do you get the loaf?
Yeah, where do you buy the bread?
Well, I'm not sure where you buy
Bigfoot's,
that from.
Bigfoot's house of bread?
No, wait. Andy, you tailgate before every game?
Yeah.
You do the food?
Oh, yeah. I'm there with Jasper Somershack, Island Creek. We're all there. But to all restaurant people, the best food,
all
the
these
best
restaurant
wine.
People all tailgate together.
I mean, maybe you don't want to give it out over the air, but maybe, you know, help us out a little bit here.
Yeah, maybe an invite to the tailgate.
Yeah, we're all there early before every game. Beetle, me, Zoe. We could stop by and say hello.
What is in this? That's a steak and cheese bomb. So steak and cheese, smoked hot links, peppers, onions, roasted garlic aioli.
The smell of it is delightful.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Oh my God!
So, if you were to try and do this at a tailgate,
yeah.
Do you have to cook the meat and the sausage and everything ahead of time, and then assemble on site?
I like the assembling on site. I would cook the meat on site, but like any party, I would do as much as I can the day before.
Right.
I'd make my cheese sauce. I'd have my peppers and onions already cooked.
Shred your lettuce. Right. All that.
Yeah, all that stuff. So then you're just assembling. We roll in with like a smoked pork butt that's hot. We smoked it all night, bring it in hot, just shred it up. But if I was tailgating and I was you, grill a steak up, chop it up, make a good sandwich.
I like this because... No, it's the bread. You brought in a lot of utensils. You don't need the utensils.
No.
Like when you're tailgating, you're sitting outside your car, your truck.
Yeah.
You got the radio on, you got Beetle on in a pregame. You want to grab the sandwich and you just eat it with your hands.
Yeah,
you
know?
You don't want to get a paper plate and the wind's blowing and you get beans all over your shirt.
No, you want to have a cold beverage in one hand and a sub in the other.
This is amazing.
Thank you.
Because I like steak and cheese. That is the bite from the hot wings.
Yeah, that's good, right?
Now, at your big compound there with you and all of your, you know, chef friends.
Yes.
All, you know, high and mighty, you know, putting everybody other tailgates to shame. Do you set up like little inflatable mattresses and cots so people can take a quick nappy nap before going into the game? Because one section of that sandwich, I would need 20 minutes to sleep.
No, you know, we're tossing a football around, playing some cornhole. Enjoying just like everybody else. We have bartenders too, by the way. Don't forget.
This would be great with a bloody.
Yeah.
Bloody Mary.
Yeah. Sazeracs. We drink a lot of Sazeracs, actually.
Oh, shut up. Oh my God.
How have we not been to this?
I don't know.
We were.
But what you're telling me though is that this is attainable for everyday Joe.
Yeah. This absolutely.
To do a tailgate and make something that's as good as this.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I would start off with like an Italian. That would be easy. Buy a bunch of really good deli meats, go down to the North End, get some good deli meats, some pickled hot peps and stuff like that, and make it.
Oh,
boom,
yeah.
Easy.
Pickled hot peppers.
When you're cooking the meat.
Yes.
At your tailgate, what type of grill do you use? I see all manner of charcoal, people bringing their propane tanks.
Green
egg's awesome.
Do you go for the convenience, or do you have like a certain part of you that won't let you do the easiest
thing? I'm snobby. But I use a Weber, just a Weber. I have a cheap Weber that I, you know, it's that way it gets dinged around, buy one new one every couple of years.
So you're talking charcoal.
Charcoal.
Though.
But, because you use it before the game, and that way you leave it out, and then you come back, and all the coals are out. Easy peasy.
How long do you, the coals, though, that's the thing. It's like you got to light those things and get them hot and let them cool down.
Yeah, but they heat up, get hotter and heat up faster than those silly little gas grills. What's important about grilling is that sear. It's called the Maillard reaction. Mm-hmm. That's the French say it. It's that caramelization. I know you love it.
Yeah, we're
you
all
need
we're
that
all
high,
familiar.
High heat. Semi. And you can't but get you it off those little gas grills.
You have the most amazing brisket that just falls apart.
Yeah.
And the collard greens that you cook. What did you tell me you did to the collard greens to keep it?
Just some chilies, molasses, brown sugar.
People can screw up collard greens, and it gets real bitter.
Yeah. I have cookbooks. Buy my cookbook, andyhusbands.com. And, you know, we can teach you how to make it, but it's not that hard. It's just slow cooking and not overcooking and not too much vinegar.
Mm. See, that's where people screwed up the vinegar.
Yeah, it gets gross. Bitter. Absolutely.
Mm. What's the optimum time? If you're going to do charcoal, you're going to do it the right way. You got to get those bricks going, and then you got to wait, 45 minutes?
No.
An hour?
No. 15 minutes. Get one of those chimneys. Yeah. It lights up so quick.
Stack it.
You know, stack one of those chimney stacks you get it at Home Depot.
That's it?
Yes.
It looks like a pitcher.
Charcoal
it's got holes
is
on the
so
bottom.
Superior. It's funny because people really care about the meats they buy, but then they don't care about how they
then
cook
it. Then they
burn
it on gas.
Yeah,
it's
or they slow cook it on gas. I see guys pushing sausages around over gas all the time. Come over and use a charcoal.
Best thing, what if charcoal, too? You get the wood, the flavored wood chips,
absolutely.
And you soak those in water, and you get them, and you just throw them in there, and you smoke the damn meat
there
while
you
go. You're doing it.
Okay. That's interesting. So you think a lot of people are ruining good meat with bad grills at tailgates.
Yep. Yeah.
And you see that at Patriots games.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And, you know,
what if you're at home, though? What if you have, like, a big Weber at home that is gas?
Yeah. I mean, what do you want me to say?
You sound like someone that wants to cook on charcoal.
No, you're right. But I think that's where you go steak tips. Steak tips and keep it. Burgers and steak tips.
I mean, look, it's like trying to do your job and not having the right equipment. Would you not have the right? You want to have the right equipment.
We had the wrong mics for the first week in here.
Yeah, but now you got the right one. So have the right. At home, I use a big green egg. I love big green eggs.
Yeah,
but I'll also use my Weber too. Like it doesn't necessarily, but charcoal is so superior to gas. Though there are some amazing gas grills out now that have high heat. You want that high heat. That's what's important.
I'm gonna go home and get a new grill.
Chris Russo, high heat.
If you don't mind,
just put the game on.
Go buy a new grill. Yeah, that's what I guess we'll do. Andy Husband's Smoke Shop Barbecue is where you find him. Three locations, Kendall Square, Assembly Row. What am I missing? Seaport, obviously.
Yeah. Well, you also cater, too.
So yes.
To make the parties easier. And that's the best thing is how he brings it in and trays for us during the week for us. But, it's easy. You just pay the guy and he does it for you.
Yeah,
instead of having to worry about
trays. Yeah, just pay me. I'll come.
Phenomenal.
There. Absolutely.
Phenomenal. Great for parties coming up, too. You got... holiday parties.
Yeah, we have private dining rooms.
Yeah, kids coming home for Thanksgiving. It's a nice little meal to have on Fridays and Saturdays for Black Friday.
We have 240 American whiskeys. We can do whiskey tastings, whiskey classes.
Oh,
yeah, 240.
You don't make the own whiskeys, do you?
No, I wouldn't know how to make a whiskey.
Okay, so that's something to look into as far as the whiskeys and bourbons, because I went to one of these places out in Denver, because like the nice thing about Denver is it's like ski lodgy, so they do a lot of these, cooking and meat selection, but they make their own whiskeys and bourbons,
yeah,
and then they brand it.
Right? Yeah, I'd love that. Maybe one
smoke
day.
Shop whiskey.
That's next.
Just whiskey. Just a big whiskey store. 240. You wouldn't think there were 240 different whiskeys out there.
Oh, there's like thousands.
Wow.
I'm just talking American, not even Japanese, European. I mean,
Japanese whiskey.
Oh yeah.
Sake.
Yeah. Suntory time.
Man.
For relaxing times.
Right.
Make it Suntory time.
Exactly.
I'm getting there next time I go to Ichiban.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, Andy. Good seeing you.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Glad you can make it in.
Can we go
past? Yeah, we're going to be able to break down.
Thank you.
Andy Husband, Smoke Shop Barbecue. It's the best barbecue you will find pretty much anywhere. Okay? So you got to get there. Three locations. Seaport, Kendall Square, also Assembly Row. Check it out. Website?
TheSmokeShopBarbecue.com.
TheSmokeShopBarbecue.com is where you go to get everything. You got to check this place out. We're going to check out this. How many feet? Six or five?
That's 5 feet.
5 foot long sandwich. And coming back on the other side, we're going to get back to the World Series because Daniel Lavangi caught Manny Machado stealing signs from the Red Sox in game two. This is going to be an issue in this series. Feel the hate between the Red Sox and Dodgers. We'll get to that coming up next.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air...
Balls everywhere.
You should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now the Dodgers look for a two-out RBI hit. That is into center. They get it from Puig. Machado to the plate, and the Dodgers lead 2-1 in the fourth. Yasiel Puig delivers... With two down here in the fourth inning, and a visit coming for David Price after this into center.
Well, he got inside, but he got a little bit more of it, and Puig knows that as soon as he hits it, it's up the middle, and that's going to easily score Machado with two outs, and you see what Puig can do and the excitement of the Dodgers. They said, oh, we may not have a lot of two-out hits, but that was a big one.
That was in the fourth inning of Game 2 at Fenway Park. Here's Scott Miller writing for the Bleacher Report. Scott Miller, I believe, used to be at CBS, longtime baseball writer. He says, already in the spotlight in October for an assortment of reasons, Manny Machado undoubtedly will receive extra attention from the Red Sox on Friday night if he reaches second base in Game 3 of the World Series. That's because the Sox say they caught him stealing and relaying signs from second base to hitters in the fourth inning of Game 2 Wednesday night, a 4-2 Red Sox victory. Here's a quote. I wish I would have gone out there before the Puig at bat, before he came up in that situation, because I saw the whole thing. Dana Lavangi, Boston's pitching coach, told Bleacher Report late Wednesday night, referring to Puig's RBI single in the fourth that you just heard that gave them a 2-1 lead. David Freese and Machado led off the fourth with singles against Price, and then Chris Taylor walked, moving the runners up. That's when Machado was on second. From there, after Kemp drove in Freese with a sac fly, things got entertaining. Throughout Enrique Hernandez's 9-pitch battle with Price, Machado appeared to be relaying signs and or location to Hernandez through an exaggerated series of motions. As Price was coming set, Machado, leaning off second, would place his hands on his hips. Then just before each pitch, Machado would begin a series of motions, touching his helmet with either his right or left hand, sometimes then touching or pulling the script of his jersey afterward, and other times grabbing or touching the thigh/groin area of his pants. As the at-bat unfolded, Lavangi remained in the dugout while Price fell behind Hernandez 2-1 and then 3-2 before following up with three foul balls, throwing a 93-mile-an-hour fastball that Hernandez swung through for strike three. Was it a little exaggerated? Yeah, maybe, said Lavangi, but I saw the whole thing. I had told Alex I wanted to go before the Puig at bat because I wanted to talk about some things. When a guy gets a big punch out in that situation and a coach comes out to take a visit, I don't want to bleep with the momentum there because David got a huge strikeout. So he didn't want to come out of the dugout because Price had just gotten a big strikeout. He wanted just to sort of keep it rolling. He didn't want to interrupt him.
Right.
He didn't want to stop the game and he wanted to stop the flow of things. He says, David makes a good pitch on Puig. He jams him. Puig gets a flare. Then I got to go out. But I talked to him with some small things after that and he got out of the inning. I had a clear point I wanted to make after that at bat because I saw Manny the entire time. I knew what he was doing. So Manny Machado is stealing signs. Obviously, it happens in baseball all the time. It's not illegal if you're not using any sort of extra help like cameras or technology or any of that. But guys get pissed at each other about this. And the Red Sox now have a reason to be upset with Machado.
Oh,
I want to see a video.
What are you upset about? What are you upset about? Stealing signals? I mean, what are you really upset about? This is part of the game. This goes on all the time. So Cora, don't let him get on second.
Cora declined comment to Bleacher Report on Thursday at Dodger Stadium when he was asked about a conversation with Lavangi in the
What's
moment.
What's he got to say?
He said, quote, I don't have a take. That's what he said.
Yeah, we do it too.
Doesn't want to talk about it. Yep. Lavangi emphasized, oh, it's clean. It's baseball. If you're not hiding your stuff with a runner on second base and you're giving them a free view, that's on you. The pitcher and the catcher, it's up to the pitcher and catcher to manage that and us to oversee it and make sure we're going about it the right way. We see this all the time, not just with him, with everyone. We're very respectful of all this, and it's a big part of who we are and what we try to manage. There is some lengthy, long quotes in this story from Dana Lavangi. If it's no big deal and it's clean, which I would agree with him with, why is he talking about it so much? Because they're irritated.
Yeah.
They're irritated by it.
You know why he's talking? Because I knew it, I saw it, and I wasn't proactive enough to where they've been proactive with everything in this series. Right? I mean, they've been ahead of the game, ahead of the ball game with everything, and you're seeing it unravel. You're seeing it's happening for you, before you, and you wanted to go out there and chat about it, but you didn't, and you're kicking yourself in the ass, and you're probably more pissed at yourself than you are what actually happened because it is part of the game.
So how are you feeling about tonight's game three?
Before you get to that, can I give you one more reason why they maybe talked about it?
Why?
Because now David Price can be like, well, one of the runs they scored off of me was on sign stealing. So
I don't think that's what they're doing.
They've been pumping Price up this entire postseason.
They should.
One more reason to pump him up. Hey, they didn't really score against you. They stole a sign against you. Yeah. They knew it was coming.
Cheap. Yeah. They got a cheap run on your ass.
I'm not saying it makes sense to me or you, but to David Price, it might be like, yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm better than I pitched.
Yeah. I mean, he was really good already. It's not like he needed this.
How do I feel about tonight?
You don't know, though. You don't know what he needs.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, how do you feel about game three?
I don't know, because I don't know what the mindset of the Dodgers are. Are they happy to be home? Is it the weather? Is the weather that bad for them? And did that affect them that bad in the first two games?
It did.
I'd like to think it wouldn't, that you would be more mentally tough than that. You would play some bad games, you know, throughout the course of the year where you had to go through some inclement weather. But all of a sudden, they're going to get home and those bats are going to wake up. I mean, if J.D. Martinez doesn't play in this game, it's a pick-em game. You know, how's Martinez's ankle? I know the Cora said they treated it on the flight. They're going to treat it in the morning, going to treat it in the afternoon. They're going to see, you know, prior to game time what it's like and then make a decision from there. That's a big bat to take out of lineup, whether or not he's good enough to be in the field. I don't know what Porcello's going to give you. I don't know. And then who comes in after that? Is it Eovaldi? Because if it's Eovaldi and it's a close game, then that could screw up what you do in game four. That's a big one. You get this one, it's over, man. I think it's over in five if you get this one.
Feeling great about this one.
I'm starting to trend downward towards tonight because, hey, it's their ballpark. This should be their moment tonight. If any game they're going to win, it should be against Porcello tonight and not against a guy like Eovaldi or Price.
They're back home. They don't have the cold weather to worry about.
All your bats. I mean,
they're going to be more comfortable, and they get to face Rick Porcello.
He went all righties against Price. He should have mixed it up more. You know, you got two in touch with, you know, oh, we got to go against the lefty now, so we're going to put all the right bats in instead of putting our best bats out there.
Their best lineups are against right-handed pitchers. Yeah. They've got Porcello on the mound tonight, a guy who gives up hits. He pitches a lot to contact. I'm worried about tonight's game.
You know,
obviously this has to do with the fact that Martinez may not play.
And the dimensions of the ballpark, our outfielder is going to be cheating back a little more because of the long ball and for the ability to get it, or some singles going to drop in that may not have dropped in Fenway Park. Or Mookie can jump it, or Benintendi can jump it. So it's all in play tonight.
Joe is in Revere. Joe, you worried about tonight's game?
My baseball guy here.
Joe! He pitches a lot to contact.
What a waste.
Yeah. That pisses me off. Where's Ken?
A wasted life.
What's the money line? What's the money line at Cappy's Copper Kettle up there in Lowell? What do you think the money line is today on the Sox? -110?
I can't tell you what it is locally.
It's a lot more than that.
Look and see what it is nationally at this point in time. Red Sox are -160. Is that right? No, sorry, +125. I had the wrong number.
Okay.
Yeah, +125. Dodgers at -145. Dodgers favored tonight with Bueller.
Oh.
Bueller on the mound.
Really?
Yes.
I guess they figure they're going to get a
game. It's funny you mentioned
even
Bueller.
They have their best lineup going against Porcello. I don't feel great about this game.
It's funny you mentioned Bueller. We were walking around Chicago last weekend, obviously out there for the Bears game. And you're looking around like, what a great skyline, what a great city. Like a lot of movies, a lot of 80s and 90s movies were made there in Chicago. Ferris Bueller, one of them. And I said, I wonder where Abe Froman is right now.
Sausage
King of Chicago.
Yep.
Do you hope for at least...
About last night with Rob Lowe and,
at least one Dodgers win to kind of extend the World Series a little bit? Like, get us through Sunday, especially with the Pats playing on Monday night?
No, I'm not looking for the series to be extended for any unnecessary reason.
I'm sure Fox wants it to be. You know, I mean, you want ratings.
Just for your own personal viewing pleasure.
I was thinking last night, though... And no, I would never root for it to be extended for no good reason. Has been such a great run for the Red Sox over the last couple of weeks, and I know the whole year, but really, the playoffs, when it's really mattered. This has been so great that it is going to be a little depressing when it's over.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you know, I think they're going to win. It's going to be great and bad all at once.
It sucks to end it on a weekend. Like for baseball. Baseball's like a during the week type thing. You watch it all the night. Like football, you watch on weekends.
I don't know what that means.
Like, I would love it to end like on a Tuesday and say,
hey,
the parade's Thursday.
Purpose?
I don't know. Just for the hell of it, man.
My only fear in that all of this is
I'd like it to end at home, too.
It's happened so fast, and it's been, you know, with all the teams in action now in football and everything, my fear is that Jim Louth has not been able to enjoy the ride. We know how much.
Jim was watching pictures of the buses leaving.
He loves to enjoy the ride of these postseason runs.
The kid watched Jim, a live stream of buses leaving to get on an airplane.
Have you had the opportunity to enjoy it, Jim?
Jim, are you happy?
Yeah. Have you? Have you not?
Yes, Jim wears.
I know Beatles enjoying it. Beatles really enjoying this.
Jim wears Veritech jersey the other day. That's how much he's enjoying it. A man wore another man's jersey to work.
I would agree with Hardy though.
Zoe never enjoys the Red Sox ride ever.
No, it's gone by so fast.
It's a
doesn't
grind.
It feel like the playoffs just started? This month has flown by.
No. Yankee series, by. 4.5 hour games, no, Houston series, no. Late starts.
It's the feast or famine of what we do. We got the Pats, we got the Bruins
are
back, the Celtics are playing, Red Sox are in the world every single night. Yes, it's. I've loved it.
I can't believe it.
Wait till we show up on Monday and they've played three more games since we've been on the air.
And honestly, right. I said after game two the other
night.
That's
the biggest difference.
I said, I can't believe they've already played two games of the World Series. I can't believe we're this far along.
When's a parade?
I'm sort of sad that it's going to come to a close soon.
When's a parade?
This has been a fabulous run by the Red Sox. How have you not enjoyed any of this?
Feels like a Wednesday parade.
You got to hate baseball to not enjoy this, man. To not enjoy any of this. You had to have enjoyed some parts.
Think about it. You've gone through 100, 200 win teams.
He doesn't even. Really, I don't think so. He hates it.
No, but I mean, the accomplishment of it, you enjoy.
No, everything about it, I enjoy. The games have been awesome.
These are when I don't mind them being 4 and 5 hours.
Not at all. Hasn't bothered me a little bit.
Give me 3:10 the other night. It was awesome.
That game that went till 1 o'clock in the morning, like that's like a sort of memorable, fun late game. You're like, remember how long that game was?
The only thing good about that one ending early the other night is Boogie Nights had started at 11 o'clock on IFC. Yep. So,
then you made me put it on, and I watch an hour of it.
Let's give Joe another chance here. Joe, are you there this time?
Hi, guys.
Thank
I'm
you.
Sorry.
Joe!
Hi, guys. I'm sorry. How's everything? Joe, have a great call Monday night.
I will, buddy.
For you.
Pray for me in Buffalo. Bad. Hope nothing happens to me.
They'll step on him like a cockroach.
That's right.
But, besides that, tonight, I just hope Porcello keeps the ball in the playing field. If he keeps the ball in the playing field,
we'll
take game three. Okay. That's all I'm
about. So you're worried about home runs.
You guys took my whole segment with the weather. L.A.'s going to have warm weather. I don't think they like the cold. That's my opinion.
Joe had a whole segment planned, and we stole it from him. We took it right from him. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Why don't you jump on board?
Let's go, baseball
as
callers.
We start talking about this game tonight. Game three for the Red Sox in L.A. against the Dodgers. They're irritated with Machado stealing signs. And tonight it's Rick Porcello on the mound. Here's Hardy with headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Oh, that's me? Oh, okay, good. Red Sox and Dodgers play Game 3 of the World Series tonight. As we were just discussing, it'll be a rookie right-hander going for the home team, Walker Buehler. Sox counter with Rick Porcello. First pitch, once again, 8:09 Boston time. Zdeno Chara got the first goal. He got a power play goal, and Jake DeBrusk added one in there, too. As the Bees defeated the Flyers at the TD Garden last night, 3-0. Yaroslav Halak was the goalie last night. He pitched the shutout. Tomorrow, it's the Canadians coming into the TD Garden. Tuukka Rask expected to get the start in that one. Celtics beat the Thunder on the road last night, 101-95. They stay on the road to play the Pistons tomorrow night. Obi Melifonwu, second-round pick just a couple of years ago, safety. He was released by the Raiders, visited the Cowboys yesterday. Now he's visiting the Patriots today. Maybe a little help there in the secondary. Pat's getting ready to play the Bills in Buffalo on Monday night. Week 8 started last night. It was the Texans over the Dolphins, 42-23 in Houston.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
You see the matchups and definitely those guys that were on the bench with our left-handed starting pitchers in the first two games. I'm expecting to probably see those guys tomorrow. And, you know, just been watching them. Any opportunity I've had during the postseason where they've been on TV and we haven't been playing, just trying to watch their left-handed bats. They've got a lot of depth. They've got great talent from the left-handed side of the plate, and they have some great right-handed hitters, too. You can't sleep on those guys as well. So I've come up with my game plan along with our reports and you know, talking with Dana and those guys, and we'll go from there.
Concerned about Rick Porcello facing those lefties tonight. And obviously, what happens with J.D. Martinez plays into all this. I don't think you really want a guy playing right field who's hurt. You guys don't give a crap. Just want to sing your song.
We just
fine. I'm going to go to the callers.
Okay. No, let's go to J.D. Martinez's ankle, because I think the ankle's an issue.
You'll have something to say.
Chances. Friday. Have some fun.
John and Cumberland. Hi, John.
When's a parade? When's a parade, John?
Hey, I wonder what you guys thought about maybe starting Pomeranz tonight. Waiting until they get to Machado.
No!
Hold on. Hear me out. Wait till they get to Machado, throw a fastball directly at his ear hole, and then bring Porcello in, because Machado's a piece of shit.
What kind of piece is he? I didn't quite hear that. Like, if you had to slice that thing up, what type of piece would he be?
He wound that thing up like a top.
And when he said piece, I knew it was coming, and I let him get it out.
I even
the intern
up.
Knew it was coming, too, because the intern had to tell him to watch his language.
Love it. I love it.
So he did it twice.
Did we get that clean? I backed off it.
So
that was so clear in my ears.
You know how some people have said if Sale can't go in game five, or if you use Eovaldi tonight and he can't go in game four, you know, people have said, well, just throw a lefty out there, right? And I said, well, what if you win game three?
Yeah.
What if you win tonight and you're up 3-0 and Dave Roberts looked at it and says, listen, I can't, at some point, I can't just go in matchups. I got to be desperate. I got to put all my best hitters in the lineup. So I didn't know if that move of just putting a lefty in there for the sake of it is going to get that right-handed lineup.
Right.
If you were thinking ahead, and this would have had to have been done a few days ago.
Go ahead. A bit more.
Maybe you would have thought about starting a lefty tonight. Either Erod.
I'd go Erod.
Given that you got a 2-0 lead. Erod and Pomeranz.
I don't ever want to see Drew Pomeranz. I don't want to see him. I'd rather go with Erod. I'd go with the younger kid.
It goes against everything that they've been in the relentless department and in the aggressive department. But if you're thinking outside the box for a couple of minutes, if you are one of the people that just wants to start the lefty, that's who you would. This is the game I think you would do.
Are you talking about starting and pitching him? Not like the Brewers did where Wade Miley pitches to one batter and then gets out of the game.
No, I'm talking
about just trick him into the lineup. You're talking to actually pitch these guys a couple innings.
Like two innings.
I could see that. I don't want to do a Wade Miley thing. I think that's cheesy. I don't want to win like that.
That's stupid. That's hokey.
I was happy the Brewers lost because they did that with Wade Miley in that game.
I'm not, because I think the way the game has gone has gotten a little bit silly. Like, I sort of like the Brewers saying, oh, yeah, you're going to just put these lineups out there based on the pitcher. Guess what? We're going to screw you over for that.
Okay.
I don't hate it.
I don't want to win like that.
Like, there's too much. I don't want the game to go the way it's going. But this would be the game. And by the way, I'm not really advocating for this, because I'm just saying that if you were going to do that, this would have been the night to do it, and it's not going to happen. I always would want to put the better guy out there, the same way I'd want a manager who's desperate to put his best possible lineup out there and not get too overwhelmed with worrying about lefty, righty, righty, lefty. This would have been the game to pull this stunt off. So, no, I want Porcello tonight. I want Eovaldi game four. I want it to be either Sale or Price in a potential game five.
And from a mentality standpoint, I do think the pitchers do need some structure like that. You know, it's nice to say, hey, you win tonight, then it's all hands on deck tomorrow. Let's cut their throat. You know, meaning, okay, Price, you might have to pitch two innings. You know what I'm saying? I think game four in a closeout game to where you know you've got them, they're reeling, they're tense, and you look at the way Houston was tense in the end, you knew you had them. Like, everybody was available in that game, but you didn't need everybody. I just think that's where it's all hands on deck, not tonight.
Lynn is in Maine.
Oh.
Hey, Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I'm calling from Maine, Camden, Maine, and I'm almost 65, and I've been a Red Sox fan, a diehard Red Sox fan all my life, and my father taught me everything that I know so far, which is a lot, I think, and I want to go back to what I believe it's you guys were talking about before the commercial about enjoying the game and not wanting it to end. And some people go, yeah, hurry up and end it.
Yeah, yeah.
I love the game. I live for the game. I'm up even past 1 o'clock, okay, to watch the game. I watched it when it went past midnight. And I will be sad and I'll be depressed just like Mr. Bertrand said.
Yep, Mr. Bertrand. And you know what, Lynn? You could call our show anytime because we have some of the most awful callers from 10 to 2. And you hear them. This is one of our best sports calls that we've got in weeks.
Just nice to have a real conversation.
No, it's nice to have a lady call the show, too. Like, I don't want women to be afraid to call our show.
Exactly. That's another reason why I'm calling. I've been debating it, and I've been watching. I never tuned in before, but after the ALCS, I was excited to hear more, and I finally ran across your show, and I'm like, I think I'll start watching this. And I've been watching it every day.
Thank you, Lynn. We got a chronic there.
Very nice.
And we like your type.
Yeah, thank you.
And, I mean, you guys, you make me laugh because I didn't have any brothers, just three sisters. There were four of us, and we were an Air Force family.
Everywhere we went, we either had TV
or the radio. So I grew up with the Red Sox. My father has passed, but he used to love the Patriots also, being upset that the baseball game is over. I am deep upset. I can't wait till spring training already. But now I'm starting to watch. Yeah, but now I'm starting to watch the Patriots.
Oh, all right.
Well, we play Monday night, and thank you for calling the show.
You're welcome. And this is for all the women out there who don't call but would like to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Lynn. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate you checking in. Thanks for finding the show.
T-shirt made. Hashtag do it for women. Just do it.
See, I think
call
there's
the
a,
show.
This
I
is what the
we feel
the,
like Lynn's this, brothers, this what, and she's never had a brother.
That's what the television audience is doing.
That's nice.
But isn't that our goal as a show? Like to say, hey, you tune us on. Like we feel like you're in my living room and you could be my cousin.
Should have asked her if she liked the sandwich earlier.
I'd like to.
I've got a lot
some.
Of feedback on that.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
People said
it looked great.
I'm telling you, people. I had a lot of steak and cheese, and I've been to Philly where it's the king of steak and cheese.
That wasn't a steak and cheese.
I wouldn't even call that a steak and cheese.
Davio's did a steak and cheese sandwich, this is what it would turn out like. But the liquid cheese sauce that he put on there is what made it, because it was seeped into all the grooves and the nooks and the meat.
Better than anything I could have expected. The sausage,
the crust.
Oh.
You know what? The garlic.
To Lynn's point, though, you know how when Super Bowl is over, even if
it's the worst, it's like a hangover.
So what's wrong? Brutal. What's wrong with just wanting this maybe to last a little bit longer?
Because
if it still results
in
your team winning,
the Dodgers winning anything,
winning a game of the World Series, even if that gives you an extra day or two to enjoy the season.
No, end it. End it tonight or tomorrow.
I would love
they can end it tonight.
I would love for it to be a sweep.
And tomorrow, the combination.
I would love
tomorrow.
For a sweep because if they get deep, that means they only lost two games in the playoffs.
It's badass.
They've gotten four World Series wins in this era since 2004, and three of them were sweeps.
Remember in 04 when you swept and didn't feel like you swept because you were so exhausted coming out of that Yankee series?
Oh, it felt like you had already won after
you
the Yankee
You felt like you already
series.
Won. You didn't get a chance to enjoy that. I think if you sweep here, people have enjoyed these games. And I said it to Jimmy, you just watch that ballpark the other night. That ballpark in 2013 was never like that.
Yep.
That was like old school 2004 Fenway.
We've got a $100 gift card. $100 gift card to give away to Stop and Shop. And we'll do that next. Phil Perry will be with us at 12:20.
Oh. What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Sort of a mixed bag of events today.
All your life. Coach wants you to let this play a little.
Get right back to it. But right now, it's Feed the Fan Fridays, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a $100 Stop and Shop gift card to feed their fandom, stopandshop.com. Do you think you could make Andy's sandwich for less than $100?
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
You could. I think it could be made for less than $100.
Onions, mushroom, peppers, you're getting bread. I mean, the key is the bread. You got to get the specialty bread, so you're going to pay the most to go to a bakery to get
basically, you get like an unsliced loaf, like a scally bread type of thing.
Scallywagon,
right?
Follow me, scallywagon pirate.
Yeah, the bread would be the toughest thing to recreate in that. Well, that and all the
cheese sauce, the hollandaise.
Yeah,
cheese sauce.
Yeah,
but that's all stuff you can go buy.
Yeah, I couldn't go make that and have it turn out nearly as good as that. But if you just want to buy the ingredients, the bread would be the tough one.
Yeah,
he said as much.
Right, but you could get smaller loaves and cut off the ends and if put you them wanted together. To make
put
a really long one.
Easier to transport.
Yeah, definitely. So
thinking about it?
Am I thinking about it? I don't think I could make it even close.
Jim, was that sandwich good, Jim?
You not good? Even close.
You like that, Jimmy?
Outstanding.
Really was fabulous.
Tom ate some.
Tom never eats any of the
food. Tom ate it. Yeah, you know it's good when Tom eats it.
Yeah, you know it's good because we never get Tom to eat anything.
To eat the sandwich.
Other than protein paste.
Protein shakes. Bread.
Can I put that in the blender? To put that water.
You should put some whey in there.
Make it way
Tom's girlfriend must be like, Tom. Tom's girlfriend must be like, Tom, you're such a chatty cat on Friday nights. Just shut up and let me watch the movie. You talk so much.
He just gives a thumbs up. That's what he did. Just gave a thumbs up.
You know what makes this?
She must talk a lot. That's got to be what it is, right?
Oh, Tom's girlfriend?
Yeah.
Oh, God. He hates us right now.
I know. He gets so mad when we do this. He gets so mad. She must, because there's got to be some sort of balance there.
I bet, I bet if you went out with Tom, Tom's a freak. Like, Tom would be the life of the party at some bar.
I've been out with Tom, and
Where have you been out with Tom? I've never been out with Tom.
And he's Tom.
Where have you gone out with Tom?
Well, not, I mean, the two of us, but Tom and I hung out entire night at a baseball game not long ago.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Right?
Yeah. Pre-tournament, you were doing an appearance there. We were all there. Yeah. Tom was there.
Tom was there.
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't really qualify as hanging out.
Tom and I sat watching it like a 3-hour baseball game together. And didn't talk to anybody else.
So Dan Roach and Fred. I mean.
And?
Never mind.
What do you think was more awkward?
It wasn't awkward at all.
Tom and Hardy.
Nah.
Not at all.
Nah, I'd say Fred.
I would take R2 some over theirs. We're a good team.
617-779.
Now it's awkward.
Speaks for
0985. Jimmy is in New Hampshire. He does not have a Patriots or Red Sox thought. He's got a Celtics thought, but we welcome those as
or
well.
Or Sports
we'll
Station.
It.
Yep.
Yeah. What do you got today, Jimmy?
Hi, Jim.
Yes, I wanted to wait till Friday to bring this up. I called about a year ago. It actually made your calls of the year, so I thank you for that. I called you about Kyrie Irving.
You have a calls of
about
the year?
He made a derogatory comment towards a fan, and I gave you a replacement term for it.
Oh, was that the side thing?
I don't know if I can say it on with you on TV. It's siphon my gas.
Yes.
I remember that now.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, it was very good.
So I just wanted to call about Kyrie and ask if you see any nervousness in his play. I mean, I understand it's early, but we had questions about his head early last year as well. So I wanted to see if you thought maybe he's in his own head about his knee.
Honestly, I mean, to be honest, I haven't watched enough of it, and I don't think it's enough of a sampling yet. And the bits and pieces I have watched, they've all looked like crap. They're struggling to find their chemistry. And at some point, it'll come. You know, Will. I don't think it has anything to do with the knee.
I think his issues are the same issues that everyone's suffering from. I don't think it's his knee. I really don't.
I think it's reading the clippings, the expectations, the head. Who's going to score more? Are we going to start the big five? Are we going to get somebody up the bench who's a true center? I think it's all in play for them. And they're all thinking about it too damn much.
In fact, I mean, coming off of last night's game, which they came back and Kyrie, after the game, said, you know, something along the lines of he had said to Al Horford, like, Al, we need to set the tone for this team. You know, I don't think anything's in his head right now. I think the team has issues. I'm not so sure that he is a big part of that issue or is worried about his knee. But
and he's going to get the credit or blame because he's the big player.
You just said what you've seen of them has been not good.
Yeah. Yeah. And even in games that they've won, you know, easily they win by 18, but they've looked bad in those games at points, too.
I think that they are going through the adjustment period that you should expect teams like this to go through. That when you now have the full complement of guys, including Gordon Hayward being back, there is an adjustment period. And with that, it's got to come to an end, like, soon.
It's like Coach K at the Olympics. Okay,
yeah, like another couple of weeks of this first month type of thing to get your issues sorted out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
That's sort of what I would say about it at this point in time.
Give me 10 more games. 10 more games.
Get 10 games in, let's say.
Yeah.
They're what? 5 in? So you get 5 more games. I'll give you 5 more games to get your crap sorted out. I think that's fair. Speaking of games last night, you catch any of the Bruins?
I did not.
This seems like the right spot to mention this. They got a full-blown goalie controversy over there.
They do, don't they?
In case you haven't noticed.
They do. I didn't want to bring it up yesterday with Krug because I didn't watch both enough. And because I don't want Krug to put it back in my face on my spot and put me on the spot. But this guy's pretty good, huh?
One of Chara's goals last night was a mirror image of one of the shots we saw him take. I think Zoe and I were standing there watching during the morning.
That's 107 a mile an hour, slappy.
Like a slap shot that you just couldn't even see. And I think he was shooting on Halak at practice yesterday, and he stopped.
He was.
But, like, took a moment after stopping that one, said, okay, I'm just going to go wait for my heart to restart here. Just hold on a second. And that was one of the ones that got past him last night. But, yeah, I watched the game last night, and I did not buy into goalie controversy here in the early stages of this season.
You buying in yet?
I'm starting to buy in.
Thank you.
I'm starting to buy in.
Did you hear Bruce Cassidy after the game?
Are we going to hear it next?
We might. I don't know if we have it. I didn't ask for it.
Want to hear it in the headline?
Yeah, let's tune in the headline.
Do you have it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I can probably get it here.
And plus,
give me 2 seconds.
Remember, Kevin Paul DuPont had that headline in the Globe.
Let me just say this. Yeah. He may not be fanning the flames,
yeah,
but he's certainly not putting out the fire.
That's good.
Okay?
That's good, because KBD had that, or the Bruins, he had that question in the Globe. Are the Bruins good enough to win the Stanley Cup this year? And Felger said, yeah, if Halak gets hot. And it wasn't Tuukka. And that was before it started.
Okay.
And here we got this guy heating
up. I got Cassidy talking about Halak.
Terrific. Okay. Hear this bite. That's the only real Bruins point I wanted to make today. That is a full-blown goalie controversy that is about to sweep the Bruins. You wait for that to get sorted out. Here's Hardy. Headlines, no commercials.